Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, welcome back. And again, as ever, thanks for listening to the program. My number is 888-914-9149. Let's go to Rosemary in Bogota, New Jersey. Bogota, I'm not familiar with that town. Where in the state is Bogota, no. Rosemary?
It's not Bogota, it's Pagoda. It's near Hackensack.
Pagoda, got it.
Hackensack,
okay,
not
thank
too
you for...
far from New York, right?
I know where Hackensack is, yeah. Okay, I'm
right,
good.
Well, we're right across the river, right across the Hackensack River.
Okay. Okay, so what would you like to talk about this morning?
Well, I wanted to talk about the audiences with the Pope and how he makes his statements. And when he spoke about, of course, us accepting people that are, you know, whatever gender, that are LGBTQ,
transgender.
The whole... Yeah, transgender, everything, the whole deal. I've had friends, people in the past, many, many years ago, you know, it was all low key then, but now it's militant. And if you, especially in the New Jersey, New York area, where, well, of course, we have a lot of affected, elected officials that are, I'll just say transgender. They might not be transgender, mm-hmm. but they're whatever. And they mm-hmm. just, it's like rampant. You have to believe what they say. Charities are going to their causes. And, you know, for what? For more signs and whatever. And also, you know, when he had made that statement, I guess he was on the plane and the reporters, however they interpreted it, you know, of course we accept our people and loved ones and et cetera, but it just, you know, it's still sinful and it's everything is against what Jesus okay. has told us in the commandments.
How would you put that into the form of a question? Because I get the point you're making, but I'm not sure I get the point you're making.
I don't know. Could you help me along with that? How I would say that? I mean, the right way.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
it,
I'll
it's
take
really
a stab
been,
at it.
Upsetting me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. Well, if I'm catching everything, if I'm picking up what you're laying down, I think what you're saying is that our society has changed dramatically in recent years, in which what once would have been considered shocking and unacceptable and something people would want to turn away from or not want to have to deal with. And that would be, let's say, the word that used to be common was transvestite. So a man who would dress up as a woman. Now, of course, in the transgender ideology, it goes beyond, for some people, it goes beyond what they wear. It goes, you know, to the point of mutilating their bodies as a way to try to appear more like the opposite sex. But in any case, society used to universally sort of look at that with great disapproval. Not fear, but just disapproval. Like, there's something wrong. And you remember, we used to laugh. You probably remember, Rosemary, the TV show MASH. Remember Klinger? Remember he was always dressed
yes.
like a woman?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And we used to laugh at that because it was so ridiculous. And he's the swarthy guy with hairy legs, and he could probably grow a full beard in an afternoon. And he's wearing a dress with a hat and gloves and pearls and high heels. And of course, the shtick in the TV show MASH was that the reason he did that was so he could get a Section 8 release from the military because he wanted to go home. He didn't want to be there. So he would do this not because he was a transvestite, but because he figured that would make him look just crazy enough that they would send him home with a Section 8 discharge for insanity. And that was the running joke. Well, the only reason it was funny then was because everybody looked at that as, this is really weird. Why would a man want to dress like a woman? And everybody got the joke, because when you realize he didn't really think of himself as a woman, ha ha, okay, we get it. Okay, well, now there's no ha ha anymore. And that character could not appear in any production that was made nowadays. That there would be a smoking crater left where that company or that production company or director or actors once stood. There'd be nothing left but a smoking crater after the Twitter mob got a hold of them. And so, to your point, it's this radical change in society's willingness to accept, in some cases, these aberrant ways of approaching your own sexuality. Or, in the case of most other people, they still look at this with disapproval, but they're too afraid to say so, because they know that they will suffer retribution. Online, people will trash them anonymously or publicly, try to get them deplatformed. They'll have their accounts turned off. They might even lose their jobs. I mean, it's really serious. And so a lot of people are afraid of those retaliations. So they sort of grin and bear it. They kind of whistle past the graveyard and they don't say anything.
Okay, can I say something? I had a friend way back in I was still in high school, just out of high school, that had been older in my sister's class, 4 years older, and he went both ways. And then suddenly, in the early 80s, he was taking care, he was also, under that, he was living with a man and guess doing the sexual thing. And anyway, his friend had gotten AIDS and he was taking care of him. And he wrote me a letter that was so horrible, what this man went through, sores all over his body. And he said he was changing his sheets 3 times a day from the sweat. And it
all
was
right.
Just,
what about that?
What he told me. Well, I mean, this has been stuck with in my mind all these years, how these things can happen, with AIDS. And then he got HIV, and I understand he must have died years later in California when... way back when they had the earthquake and I couldn't even get through to talk to him anymore.
Okay, so give me the cash value here, Rosemary. What
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just knowing what, how horrible diseases can still, happen through that. And some of them were very militant that a cure wasn't found in time or something. That, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you probably wouldn't want to put me on. But I just, things have been eating away at me for years. And, know what's happening in sports and how the guy won. And he's in the locker room with the girls flaunting himself. I mean, let's get real. This, he only, I don't know.
Rosemary, I'm having a hard time following your train of thought, I must admit. But I will say this, you've identified an issue that is of great concern for a lot of people. Many of them are too afraid to say so for the reasons I just mentioned. So if you're maybe looking for a little encouragement or advice, I would just say, let's be extra attentive in prayer for these pathologies in our society, for these mental pathologies that are running rampant in our society, and devote ourselves even more so to prayer. Sometimes that's all you can do. Anyway, thanks, Rosemary. Nice to talk to you. I appreciate it. How about Pamela now, listening in Nashville? Good morning, Pamela.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. And thank you for taking my call 2 days in a row, but I have a question that I'm embarrassed to say I don't know as a cradle Catholic. So thank you for
that's
sharing
okay.
The prayer that Pope Francis is going to be doing on Friday. I guess what
you're
I'm
welcome.
Trying to understand is, when you're sharing about it being a consecration, what is that, how is that different, or what does that exactly mean? When I think consecration, I'm thinking mass. I'm not thinking prayer. I guess I'm having a hard time distinguishing the difference of exactly when someone asks me as a Catholic, hey, what does that mean? I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Yeah, well, it's actually not as complicated as it might sound. Another way to put it would be it's a way of entrusting yourself to the prayers of, in this case, Our Lady, or if you're consecrating yourself to Jesus, you're entrusting yourself to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So it's a form of entrusting yourself. It's where you're prayerfully saying to Our Lady, I'm calling upon you in a special way. Would you please pray for me? Here's my petition. Here's my intention. And I'm entrusting myself to your maternal care. I'm asking you to do this for me. And you'll note that in Revelation chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we see this, or St. John sees this mighty sign in the sky, in this incredible image, he says, of a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and she's in labor, wailing aloud in pain as she labors to give birth to a son, and the son is Jesus, this male child. And as you read that, you see that the literal son there is Jesus, so the literal mother of that son is Mary. Now, that woman can also be understood to be, let's say, Israel. That would be another example. But the key here is that in verse 17, that same woman, we're told that then the dragon went to make war against the woman and the rest of her children, those who believe in Jesus and follow him. So there we see a biblical mention of Mary as our mother. She's the mother of Jesus in a biological sense, certainly, but because we are members of the body of Christ, she's also our mother in a very real way, as the Bible says there. So this entrustment or this consecration... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So can you consecrate yourself besides to Mary, like to, I don't know, a saint or to a prayer just to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, or is it always related to Mary?
No. It can be, you can entrust yourself to your patron saint. A consecration carries with it a sign of devotion, so it carries with it a kind of implicit promise of relying upon that person. So obviously, we entrust ourselves first and foremost to God himself, but we ask God's friends to pray for us. So yeah, you can do this with your patron saint as an example, Saint Pamela. So maybe you'll be the first Saint Pamela. Saint Pamela of Nashville. They'll talk about you.
I'm a bigger sinner than that. I don't think that's going to happen.
You know what though? All the great saints in heaven once started out as sinners. So, you know.
Yes. I keep trying.
Well, anyway,
it's a daily moment effort, but I appreciate that. Okay, that makes sense now. So I just was trying to understand that, because when we think about, I just think about my education, consecration during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that is not the same.
No. Okay, that's a different use of the word. Okay, so that would be an equivocation there. So the consecration at the Mass is where the priest, as you know, he takes the bread and the wine, and when he consecrates them, the miracle of transubstantiation takes place. As Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood. And so that's what happens. That use of the word consecration has an entirely different connotation, different from what the consecration prayer of to Our Lady would be. I'm glad I could clear that up. Pamela, great talking to you. Thank you. How about Caroline now in Frankfort, Louisville, Kentucky. I thought those are two separate cities.
No.
Well, welcome, Caroline.
No, it's just Frankfort, and they are two separate cities. There is Louisville.
Well, my screen says
Frankfort.
Both. That's what I always thought. But my screen, erroneously says Frankfort, Louisville. But that's okay. Welcome to the program, Caroline.
Thank you. I've been listening to talk about the prayer that the Pope is going to say tomorrow, and I haven't yet heard you say a time that it's going to be, and is our time going to be the same time that the Pope says it in Rome, and what time zone will you all be in so that we can all pray it together? Would you clarify what time that
Happy
we can
to.
Listen in?
Happy to.
And that's my question.
So the Relevant Radio is in the Central Time Zone. We're in Chicago. So if you want to, you know, you're in Frankfurt. So you're on Eastern Time Zone. So you'll be 1 hour ahead. So in Eastern Time Zone, it's almost certainly going to start at noon Eastern, or maybe a little bit before that. So it's possible it might cut into this program. And that's fine, because it's more important than anything I have to say. So be listening, especially in the third hour of my program. So on the West Coast in Pacific time, or in Phoenix, that's going to be in the 8 to 9 o'clock hour. And it will start sometime in that hour, maybe at the end of the hour. So if you're ready at, say, 11:30 Eastern time where you live, you'll be ready, and you won't miss it. Okay.
Okay. And how does that correspond to the time in Rome? Is that the same time? Like, I think he was going to start like at 5:30 or 6 at Rome time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rome's
I don't know
about,
how that
if I recall
to
correctly,
our time.
It's about 6 hours ahead. So
if you're going
from Eastern time, Rome time, and I could be off by an hour, but it's roughly 6 hours ahead. So it'll be dinner time. Well, not in Rome, because they don't eat dinner that early in Rome, but Americans do. But it'll be about dinner time there. And by the way, you can get the prayer if you go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Our Twitter feed is embedded on the on the page there. And all you have to do is go there, and you can click the link and print it out or save it to your computer or your phone or whatever you'd like to do. That's there waiting for you. And that's courtesy of the Catholic News Service, by the way. They posted it, and that's our source for it. They got it from the Vatican. Thank you, Caroline. I think we have time to take a break right now, and then we'll go right back to your phone calls. If you've been waiting to call, or if you've been getting a busy signal, now's your chance. We have two lines that just opened up. I guess one person got tired of waiting, so you can have his line. When you call 888, up, that line just got taken. So there's one line left. Call now, 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Welcome back to the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
Okay, to the phones we go. The number again, 888-914-9149. We'll go first to Martin in Phoenix, the Valley of the Surface of the Sun. Good morning, Martin.
You got it. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'd like to agree with you that I believe all abortion is murder, and I believe it ought to be stopped in all forms as soon as possible. It just breaks my heart when I see, I'm almost breaking up, I see these kids being killed. It's just, I can't stand it, but. Anyway, I called Pope Francis, said, I wrote this down years ago, and he said this on the 14th of November of 2019. I don't know if it's totally true, but it says, the United States of America has a distorted vision of the world, and Americans must be ruled by world government as soon as possible for their own good. And then Russian Federation President Putin said on the 9th of August of 2018, the West is controlled by satanic pedophiles, whatever how you say it. And, you know, I look at this guy that's the president of the Ukraine over there, this Zelensky, the guy that's a stand-up comedian that I think he was just put in by a fake government, you know, to serve a purpose for maybe, you know, all the things wrong over there, you know, to just like a yes man. You know, but I just, you know, I just don't understand all the things happening, and, you know, I don't know why the Pope would say that about, you know, the United States. I just think of all these people that died in the wars, and for what, you know, I mean, you know, what is a world government? I mean, I guess I could see people trying to, you know, believe in God to stop all these atrocities all over the world. Mm-hmm. I can see that, you know, but, you know, I don't know why he would say that, and, you know, in
well, let's
my own
start
family,
there.
You know,
why don't we start there? Let's start there, Martin. First of all, it may well be that Pope Francis didn't say that. It doesn't sound like something that I've heard him say, that we must get under a one-world government. I mean, maybe he said something that was interpreted that way. I don't know, and believe me, I'm not positioned to be an apologist for what the Pope says or writes. I mean, that's up to him, and what he says and what he writes, he has to stand behind that. So I do know, however, that there are things floating around out there that are attributed to Pope Francis that he never said. One, for example, and I actually posted it on Twitter a while ago, I mean, maybe a couple years ago, where you have this smiling picture of Pope Francis saying that you don't have to believe in God to be a good person, and some of the best people on earth are atheists. And but it goes beyond anything that Pope Francis may have said. It may be sort of a distorted version of something that he might have said, but just be careful. And I can tell that you're emotional about this. I can hear it in your voice. And so that's maybe all the more reason why you should be really careful before you believe that necessarily he said this. It's possible that he didn't. And then you're wasting all that emotional energy for nothing.
Yeah.
So that's my thought about that issue. But with regard to Russia and Ukraine and Zelensky and Putin and all of the above, I look at it this way. So I'm going to share with you the prism through which I'm looking at all of this. And that is that on the one hand, if you do some Googling, it's not difficult, you can find out all kinds of crazy things about Volodymyr Zelensky and just some of the stuff that he has done as part of his comedy act. I hesitate to even describe any of it only because this is a family program. But a lot of it's not wholesome. A lot of it is definitely decadent, very sexualized, even homosexualized, although he himself is not homosexual, in the name of comedy, all right, whatever. But that's his background. Now, somehow he got elected president, and he's now president. So whether we like him or don't like him, or whether, I mean, nobody even really knew who he was until a couple of years ago when there was all that furor on CNN. I'm sure you remember it, Martin, when the recordings that were surreptitiously released from the White House of Donald Trump asking Volodymyr Zelensky for any dirt that he might have on Joe Biden because of all the insanity going on with Hunter Biden's laptop and his, you know, crazy big money deals with Ukrainian oil companies and all the other stuff that's going on, most of which we probably would get sick even knowing about. But in any case, that's where I think the West really ever first heard his name. It's like in the context of, well, what was Donald Trump trying to get from him? And then you never really heard anything from him until now, at least not in the West. And now Russia has invaded. So whatever bad may be in his life or whatever kind of a person he may be, all of that notwithstanding, it doesn't change the fact that his country has been illegally attacked and invaded and destroyed. And people being displaced, people being killed. I'm aware of the controversies where people say, well, that children's hospital wasn't a children's hospital. It was actually, you know, it hadn't been a children's hospital with children in it for a year or more. And it was actually a weapons depot, or it was a, you know, a place for troops or something like that. Okay, maybe that's true. I don't know. It could be true. Maybe it's not true. there's all kinds of spin going on, both from Russia and from us. And, you know, I think everything is being spun. But one thing we do know, and that is that Russia has unjustly invaded this country and killed a lot of people and killed a lot of their own people in the process. And that's wrong. And we can say that that's wrong. And we can stand up against it and say this has to stop without at the same time somehow being on Team Zelensky or Team Putin. And that's the danger I see here. And I don't know if that fits into your view of things, Martin, but what I'm concerned is that some people, they refuse to believe one side or the other, or at least the evidence that they see, because it doesn't fit with their political narrative. And so you've got, including some Catholics, who are convinced up to here that Vladimir Putin is the good guy. And he really had to do all this. He had no choice, because we were building up Ukraine's military system and because of all the gay pride parades. In fact, Patriarch Kirill of the Russian Orthodox Church, he said that. He said that in a sermon that I alluded to. I read part of it on the show a few days ago. You know, that it's all these gay pride parades that made Putin have to do what he did. And I said that's a lot like saying, well, she deserved to be raped because of the dress that she wore. I mean, that's victim blaming. And I'm not saying you're doing this. But what I mean is that there are people who are mindlessly getting in lockstep behind those who want a war with Russia. And they see Zelensky as, you know, the new savior of mankind. And there's a great deal of frenzied and mindless adulation for him, and people who are putting, you know, that narrative before anything else because that's what they believe. And that's an extremely dangerous situation, because if we get into it with Russia, that's World War III. And if that were to happen, then there's a really good possibility that you and everyone you know, including me, will be dead because of nuclear war. And I don't want that to happen. I want to do everything that we can to help the people of Ukraine, to help restore sanity over there, to help get the Russians to back off short of a war with Russia. Because once that starts, all bets are off. And I don't want that. I'm sure you don't want that. But we can, I believe, we can approach this topic in a sane way, and we can say this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening. And at the same time, not be in league with the political machinations that align with either Putin or with Zelensky, with Ukraine or with Russia. I think we have to thread this needle very carefully. And if we're not careful, and by we, I guess I mean our leaders. Oh, by the way, Cyrus, do you have some Kamala Harris audio for us? Because she's over there right now. Working her magic with our allies and explaining what we need to do over there. Maybe we can get some of her audio.
Got it.
But those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts, Martin, is that don't let yourself get rattled and don't get, not everything that glitters is gold, and not everything you see on TV and social media is real. And some of the things that are real are being spun to make you think something other than what is really going on. And I see it happening on both sides. You know, the people who are championing Putin as if he's the good guy, or people who are saying, well, you know, between Russia and Ukraine is terribly corrupt and Zelensky's a goofball and gay pride parades and all that. So really, I mean, Russia's the one that's standing up for family values. So let's back Russia. I mean, that's nonsense. It's nonsense. So those are my thoughts, Martin. I'll leave it at that. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. Let's see. Quickly, I think we can get to Vic in Northwest Indiana. Hi, Vic.
Hey, how you doing?
I am not too bad for a
sinner. Hey, there you go. I agree. Yeah, I was a little confused. And again, I'm elderly, so I'm not sure it was my fault or not. But okay. You were talking to somebody earlier about the consecration, and the person kept saying tomorrow, and then you kind of agree with them, and I went online, and it's not going to be till Friday.
Right. It's only ever been Friday, and I don't think I said that, but if I did, that was my mistake. Maybe I was trying to say the day after tomorrow, but sometimes you say the wrong thing inadvertently. But no, we've been promoting this heavily here at Relevant Radio to get people in the harness to pray with the Pope, and It's always Friday. So if I misspoke, that was my fault. But I don't think I did. Cyrus, did I say tomorrow? Do you remember
if no,
I did
or not? It was, it's been Friday.
Yeah,
I love telling you when you're wrong, but no, not this time.
Hey, believe Cyrus.
Maybe it was
he
me
really
then.
Does love it.
Yeah,
well, anything's possible.
He's a lot younger than me. He's got better hearing and vision and everything else.
Okay, fair enough.
Dad, I thought, you know, you had me. I was kind of freaking out there. I was getting ready to call the bishop of the diocese in Gary.
No
saying,
worries.
Hey, what goes here?
No worries.
All right, man.
We're
thank
in
you.
Good order. Yeah, thank you, Vic. I appreciate it. So Vice President Harris is, I know she's doing shuttle diplomacy, and she comes back to the U.S. and goes to Europe and meets with our allies. I believe we've got some.
Well, she's not.
There's so much that she's sharing lately.
She's talking about the significance of time here. So the newest, we actually have a collection of these now where she just kind of rambles. And so this one isn't specific.
Come on. This is high-level diplomacy. Stop with your hate. Come on.
Well, like when she told us
this
about...
This is high-level diplomacy.
She gave us...
Why don't we let her speak for herself?
All right.
Don't even... Because you're such a critic,
hey,
Cyrus.
And this is important stuff about time. All right? So listen.
It is. So
please listen
I just
closely.
Want people to understand, this is our vice president, and she is explaining things people need to know. Listen.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time when we think about a day in the life of our children.
The significance of the past. Just think of the significance of that.
That's deep.
Right.
It's so deep. I don't know what it means.
Well, you know,
I mean, I know what time is, and I know what the significance of time is, but there was 30 seconds of filler.
That was
unless it's so deep that it's beyond me. Maybe it's beyond me. That could be the issue here. Maybe she's just that deep. I don't know.
Significant. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's never forget when she schooled us on what's going on in the Ukraine.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Thank you, Vice President Harris.
Okay. Well, this is good that she's explaining things. We have a little more audio. I'm looking at the time. Maybe we should take a break. We do have, let's see, we have Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, who is being questioned in the Senate right now for her because of her nomination to the Supreme Court. She's going to fill a new vacancy coming up. And we do have some interesting audio, actually two bits of interesting audio from that. That's in the news right now. So maybe we'll come back and we'll listen to a few snippets from the hearings that are going on. I think you'll find them very interesting, and you'll find her response very interesting. And we'll do that and your phone calls on the other side of this quick timeout. Please stay right there. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. I lived through the 70s, man. I don't need to go back to the 70s. Welcome back. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, you have so much fun. You have the best job in the world. You get to play with all your toys.
I laugh a lot. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
My wife often asks me, who's the joke for, Cyrus? Who's it for? Like, well, it's for me, Melanie. It's for me.
Well, Nancy always says to me, with a roll of her eyes, she says, you crack yourself up. And I say, yes, ma'am, I do.
Yes.
There's a lot of humor out there if you know where to look.
That's right. Yeah,
we hey, got I know that. Where to look. Let's look at the Senate confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown, because there's some interesting stuff that's, I thought, kind of funny, or at least it's kind of unusual. Let's play the first one. This is from yesterday, and Senator Ted Cruz, love him, hate him, however you feel about him, he asked a very interesting question nonetheless about critical race theory. And I think we've got about, 60, 90 seconds of that. So this is Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, asking Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson about critical race theory. You'll hear it. Let's play it.
But I've never studied critical race theory, and I've never used it. It doesn't come up in the work that I do as a judge.
So with respect, I find that a curious statement because you gave a speech in April of 2015 at the University of Chicago in which you described the job you do as a judge. And you said sentencing is just plain interesting because it melds together myriad types of law, criminal law, and of course, constitutional law, critical race theory. So you described in a speech to a law school what you were doing as critical race theory. And so I guess I would ask, what did you mean by that when you gave that speech?
With respect, Senator, the quote that you are mentioning there was about sentencing policy. It was not about sentencing. I was talking about the policy determinations of bodies like the Sentencing Commission when they look at a laundry list of various academic subjects as they consider what the policy should be.
Okay, but you were vice chair of the Sentencing Commission, so let me ask again, what did you mean by, because that was an official responsibility of yours,
what did you mean by
what you were doing was critical race?
What I meant was that there are a number of, that slide does not show the entire laundry list of different academic disciplines that I said relate to sentencing policy, but none of that relates to what I do as a judge.
I find that a little confusing because what she said at the beginning, and we don't have to replay it, but what she said at the beginning was she's never studied it, she never does anything with it, it's never part of what she does as a judge. And then when she's furnished with an example of doing exactly those things, and I suppose you would have to study it if you're going to talk about it in a speech, you'd have to at least know what it is. So that seems to be an inconsistency. We'll see where that goes, but it is interesting. And of course, you know the problems with critical race theory. We've talked about that on the program before. Now we have a second clip, and same hearing, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is being asked a question from a member of Congress about, you'll hear it. She asks her for a definition of a term, and this is what happened.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
I can.
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word
Cyrus.
Woman is so unclear
Cyrus.
And controversial.
Cyrus. Me. I've got my hand up in the air.
Okay, Patrick, what do you want?
Yeah. I can provide a definition of the word woman.
How do you define woman?
An adult female person. A female of the species. This is from dictionary.com, by the way.
And you're not even a judge. That's amazing,
not even
Patrick.
A judge.
Wow.
Yeah. An adult. Everyone say it with me. What is a woman? Everyone say it with me. An adult female person.
Yeah. It's not that hard.
Now, the real challenge is to define female. How do you define female? Well, you can define female biologically. Females of the species can gestate their young in their womb because they have a womb. They have a uterus. They have fallopian tubes. They have all the, shall we say, apparatuses necessary for procreation with a man. Women, the female of the species, can nurse her young with milk produced by mammary glands in the breasts. Men can't do that, by the way. Females of the species have different chromosomes and different skeletal structures and different... all kinds of different things from a biological or physiological standpoint, chromosomally, etc. So these definitions are not hard to come by. And I think most people, I mean, even like kids, they would know what a woman is and they could say what a woman is. But at the very least, we can say a woman is an adult female person, different from a man. So do I get a prize? Because I have the definition.
That was good.
Can I have an extra 10 minutes for recess?
No, I want you to get back.
You're not my teacher anyway. Why am I even asking you?
I don't know why you're asking me.
You don't make those decisions for me. You're not the boss of me, Cyrus.
All right. We should go back and start.
I interrupted the judge.
Yeah, you interrupted.
Okay, here come the judge. So let's listen to the rest of it. And I will not interrupt this
start
time.
Start over. No interruptions here.
No interruptions. Okay.
Can you provide a definition for the word woman?
Do it. Come on. Do it now.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law, and I decide. Well, so I'm not...
Wait a minute.
Time out. I can't help myself. Cyrus, I can't help myself. If she says she can't give a definition of a woman, the word woman, what does it mean? Then why on earth is she sitting in a position of authority where she determines what these definitions should be? If she herself doesn't even know, am I missing something here, Cyrus? I mean, I don't get that. I mean, she's interviewing for the top legal job in the country. Well, top judiciary job in the country. And she does. It's not. Okay. Let me say what nobody's saying. She knows the definition of a woman as well as anyone does. She just won't say it. Because if she says what a woman is, it completely undercuts her commitment to gender ideology. That's what's really going on here. And I promised I wouldn't interrupt her, and I do want to continue with it, but I just can't help myself. She knows the definition of a woman. But she can't say it, so she's got to play this game. Well, I'm not a biologist. Well, what are you? Well, I'm a judge. Well, what do you do? Well, I make decisions upon, things like this. Well, how can you make a decision on things like this if you're not even aware of what the definition itself is? How does that work? So this is all kabuki theater. This is cat and mouse. This is all a game, and everybody knows it's a game. All right. I really will refrain from interrupting this time. Let's continue.
And we'll just jump. This is her basically responding to what you just said.
Senator, I'm not sure what message that sends. If you're asking me about the legal issues related to it, those are topics that are being hotly discussed, as you say, and could come to the court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, though, right? Because if it comes to the court, shouldn't we have, I mean, this is just me, call me crazy, but if cases involving these matters come to the Supreme Court, is it too much to ask that the justices on the Supreme Court could even know a basic definition of a term like woman? Is that too much to ask? But again, she knows the definition. They all do. You do, I do. Even Cyrus knows the definition. Cyrus, I'm sorry, but that was a cheap shot.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I'll save those for more opportune moments. No, I like you, Cyrus. But what I'm saying is everybody knows the definition of a woman. But please understand, when you hear and see this kind of stuff, it's all kabuki theater, because she doesn't want to answer the question, because obviously if she says, well, of course, you don't have to be a biologist to know that a woman is the female of the human species. Or as dictionary.com says it, a woman is an adult female person.
Like, I'm sorry to break it to you, Chad.
I know. Do we have any more highlights, or is that it for
enough.
Today?
Yeah, that's enough.
All right. And all I'm doing is just saying, let's go remember, on the basis of what is said.
What a difference. Remember when Amy Coney Barrett was being grilled? And then she just holds up that her notes, and it's just this empty.
Oh, you know, just, yeah, because they said, well, you've probably been taking notes, and you've
and you're reading from notes and whatever. Yeah.
Right. Like, blank.
Yeah, what a difference.
That was a good one. By the way, I want to make a prediction. I don't know whether Judge Ketanji Jackson Brown will, or Brown Jackson, let me take a look. I'm sorry. And I didn't mean that in a flippant way. I just want to make sure I have her name correct, because I don't really know much about her until recently. Ketanji Brown Jackson. And one thing I do want to say, and this is just a personal observation, nothing more. It's not political even. But you know what her single greatest, well, I shouldn't say that either. I don't mean it. She has, I'm sure, many fine attributes. I'm sure she's very intelligent. I'm sure she's got a stellar academic record. So without in any way diminishing whatever her superlatives might be in those areas, one thing that she has that is going to help her a great deal in this process, you know what it is, Cyrus? Her smile. She has a very appealing smile. And when she smiles widely, as typically when you see her picture on the news or in the press or something, she has a very attractive, appealing, friendly smile.
I mean, really, Patrick.
I'm telling you, that's going to go a long way in her favor. Now, it doesn't mean anything one way or the other. I mean, you could have the most wonderful, intelligent, kind, and virtuous person in the world who doesn't have a nice smile. It doesn't detract from all those great things about that person. Or you could have somebody who's a really terrible person, a monster, who has a great smile. And I'm not saying that she is either one of those things, although I do strongly disagree with many of her positions on abortion and critical race theory and transgender issues and all that. So, I mean, it's not as though I'm in any way endorsing her. But I'm just noticing from a human standpoint, she has a very nice, attractive, friendly, appealing smile. Don't underestimate the power of her smile to have people, I think, maybe be perhaps a little less critical or a little less scrutiny maybe given as a result of that. That's just human nature. You know, people who are extremely good looking. Well, Cyrus, I'm sure you get that a lot. You know, people, they just like you. When you walk into a room, everything lights up. You're like the disco ball in any room you're in. Just
now
light it up.
Now you're just being mean.
And people love it.
now you're being mean.
You are the glitter ball, Cyrus. When you walk into a room,
I don't know.
You're the glitter ball.
I don't know what that means.
Just watch people's reaction when you light up a room. Just watch. You'll see.
No heat, no judgment.
That's right. Not for me, anyway. We have plenty of phone calls coming. What time do we have? We've got a break in just a minute, so we will do that. Do we have time to do a call, Sarah? I think
we
do.
Let's
do it. Noel. Okay, let's go to Noel in Driftwood, Texas. Good morning, Noel.
Hi. I was calling with a comment, but I actually have a quick question, too.
Sure.
My comment is that it makes me very nervous that a person would be nominated for this position and not know what a female is, because
she knows.
I mean, it's in our.
She just doesn't want to say.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, it's ridiculous. I took a women's history class in my adult life, and I learned a lot about the words and getting equal rights. And it's just like, these are written words and amendments about women. And anyway, my question is, what's the likelihood of this person not making it because of this ridiculousness?
Well,
I mean, do these people
if I had
not
to guess,
go to the Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a betting man. I don't gamble typically, but if I had to put money, I'm going to bet she will be confirmed, and I think it will be part. I mean, certainly it's going to be along political lines, and she's a radical ideologue in these areas that I outlined, and perhaps in some others as well. I don't claim to be an expert on her. I only heard her name for the very first time maybe a month ago, or when, you know, shortly before she was nominated. But I'm glad that she's being asked these difficult questions, Noel. Sorry I didn't have more time to talk with you, though, but thanks for raising your voice on this issue. I appreciate it very much. Look forward to the next conversation. In the meantime, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with Hour 3 right after this. Thank you, Cyrus. You're a genius.